Good afternoon, Pierre. How are you?
Everything is great, Mitch. How are you?
I'm looking forward to this one.
I think a lot of people around the league are looking forward to two huge games tonight, Boston at Detroit and Montreal and Washington.
Before we get to Boston and Detroit, before we go back to last night where you were, and before we get to Dustin Byfuglien, considering all the talk coming out of the practice yesterday and a few of the guys today after an optional skate, it you get the feeling the Canadians are going to play a lot tighter tonight than against Tampa.
I would think. I mean, again, you don't know until they show up on the ice, but I think the Canes will have a very good game tonight. I don't know if it'll be good enough to win, but I think the Canes will play a very good game today. I really do. I think they'll play guilty. I think they'll play intense, and I think they'll play focused.
Gap control is going to be the biggest thing tonight, especially with big, strong, fast guys that they have. The blue lines are going to win the game tonight.
Well, that's Nathan Beaulieu, but go ahead.
One thing, I'm not sure I agree with all of that. I think the most important thing that'll win the game tonight is to keep their power play off the ice. The Canadians got themselves into trouble against Tampa because of bad penalties, and we talked about it ad nauseum. Stick penalties and any stick violation is a lazy penalty. Canadians cannot afford to take bad penalties tonight. They can't afford to take any penalties tonight.
I think they're at 25%. That's an incredible power play. So sometimes calls happen, and penalties are part of the game. But we need to be more disciplined in this locker room. We know that because especially like a team like Washington, they're going to make you pay.
Heard you, Pierre.
Well, the one thing I would tell you, if the coaches are listening and they haven't implemented this plan, I've done a lot of Washington games this year. If you don't take Nicholas Backstrom out of the equation on their power play, everybody talks about Ovechkin and the one-time shot on the left-hand side of the ice, your right-hand side. If you don't take Nick Backstrom out of the equation, because everything on that power play runs through him, he plays on their right hash mark, your left hash mark. If you don't take him out of it, they're going to devour you. He is a critically important player on their power play.
What do you make of, he's done this before, but for tonight, at least to start 5-on-5, it'll be Kuznetsov between Ovechkin and Joel Ward, and Backstrom between Troy Brouwer and Marcus Johansson.
I would say that's probably window dressing early on. He's just trying to get a reaction out of Michel Therrien. They may not even show those lines in the warm-up. You never know, but I think that's more gamesmanship than anything else.
Brooks Like.
I think he went through a little phase there about 3-4 years ago where he was a little bit predictable. And I think now that unpredictable factor is back in him. He doesn't just come down the wing and shoot anymore. He'll take it to the net. He scored deflection goals. He scored rebound goals, wraparound goals. Certainly he's always had the ability to cut to the middle on a defender, score from the other side of the ice as well. I mean, he's going to get 7 or 8 looks at the net in the game, and with his shot, one or two of them is going to go in.
Is that what you see from Ovechkin as well this year?
Oh, I would agree with that. Brooks, he's a good hockey man. He knows what he's talking about. You know, one of the things that really got, I think, him into trouble, Ovechkin, was a 2010 series the Canadians played against Washington, and Roman Hamrlik and Spacek did such a good job closing him off and denying him that inside to the net move that Brooks Like was talking about. He would attack your right defenseman. He'd come down and try to cut across the middle. And the gap control that Nathan Beaulieu was talking about was so good from Spacek and Hamrlik, it caused a lot of problems for Ovechkin. I think a lot of teams saw that on tape and started playing him that way.
When Ovechkin is really engaged, you know it early on. He's playing with reckless abandon. He'll throw his body around. He'll look like he's having fun. Is there a hockey equivalent to the rope-a-dope? By that, I mean, can you use his aggressiveness against him in some way?
I don't know. That's a dangerous game to play, Rod, only because you can't, like they were just talking about, Brooks, like the unpredictability factor. If you try a game plan for that and he doesn't perform that way that night, then your game plan's gone for naught. So it's hard to really do that. The one thing I think can get under Ovechkin's skin, if you rough him up, but you don't lay off. If what happens with a lot of teams, and teams do this to Jerome McGinley, they make a huge mistake. They go after him early, he gets mad, then they back off. If you're going after him, you got to go after him all night long. You can't back off, because if you keep after him, I think he can shut down. If you lay off a little bit, he's going to make you pay.
Mitch Gallo at the Bell Center prior to the Canadiens Capitals game right here on TSN 690 at 7:30.
Pierre, we've spoken a lot about the impact that Barry Trotz has had on Alex Ovechkin, but I'm wondering the impact he's had on Mike Green, because a lot of us when we saw from the outside Barry Trotz is going to coach Mike Green, we said, uh-oh, offensive defenseman who really likes to carry the puck everywhere on the ice. How is this going to work? How do you think Trotz has impacted Mike Green?
Well, I say this with respect to your question. I don't think very much. I think what's impacted Mike Green is the addition of Matt Niskanen, the addition of Brooks Orpik, and Mike Green going down from being a top four defenseman to playing in the five hole, number one. Number two, the addition of Todd Reirden to their staff and his ideology as a coach of defensemen. He did a real good job in Pittsburgh with a lot of guys, and I think they miss him in Pittsburgh. I was at their game last night. And I can tell you that they also miss Orpik and Niskanen. And one of the reasons why Todd Reirden's there is because both those guys just think the world of him. And so I think Mike Green's game has been influenced more by the additions of Niskanen and Orpik and the fact he's dropped down on the lineup and also the addition of Todd Reirden coaching the defense.
It's obvious that Washington, you know, where they are in the franchise, the so-called window and all of that, and they had a decision. There was a lot of talk about trading impending unrestricted free agent Mike Green. They're going deep, they believe, and hope with him. In the offseason, if you needed an offensive puck-moving defenseman and you felt you were strong enough to partner him up with somebody who was very responsible defensively, how hard would you push at this stage of his career for Mike Green?
Depends what the price point is. If you're going to tell me what a price point is, I would tell you yes or no.
Close to $6 million a year.
Probably not.
Five.
Maybe. I'll tell you where there's a fit for him.
Yep.
Los Angeles.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's a fit. I mean, no, I'm not telling Washington how to do their business, but that's a fit.
Mike Green and Drew Doughty on the same blue line, perhaps.
The ability to win games different ways has been probably the best compliment I can give to the group, is that whatever game's presented, we have a chance to win that game. And they know how to win that game versus not knowing how and only want to play one way. So I think they've adjusted to play any style that is presented to them.
Barry Trotz on the quote unquote transformation of the Washington Capitals. Are they playoff ready, Pierre?
I think so. I really like what they've done. I'll use Eric Fehr as an example. Eric Fehr was a 50 plus goal scorer with the Brandon Wheat Kings. He was a first round pick. He was supposed to be the next it guy in terms of scoring. Never really materialized. So they basically told him, if you want to stay in the NHL, you're going to have to refine your game and become more of a checker, and he has. And he's a very useful player. For good portions of this season, he and Brooks Like and Joel Ward were probably the best third line in the league. They really were for huge portions of this season. So I would say that the transformation for that organization's happened because Barry has created fantastic roles for the players and really has made this team playoff ready. I love what Barry's done. I really do. It's a completely different environment when you go to Washington now to do a game than maybe it was the last 5 or 6 years. It's just different around the rink.
He's not even thinking about it. He was asked about it today, but he is one win shy of 600 for his career, Barry Trotz.
You know, it's amazing. That's at the National Hockey League level. Go look at his record with Portland in the American Hockey League, because that's the days when I was really on the road a ton, watching all kinds of games of every different level. And his teams in Portland were phenomenal. And they did not have great NHL players on it. Some of them were. Eventually, Sergei Gonchar is one of them. Steve Konowalczuk was another one of them. Pat Teeth, before he got hurt, would have been a great one, but he got hurt. But those were some of the guys that Barry had. His American Hockey League numbers are fantastic. He did a great, great job for the Capitals for a long time coaching the minors.
Because of a few trends through 77 games for the Canadiens, their slow starts, minus 12 goal differential in the first period, they're struggling goal scoring, 24th in the league in goals. They've won a lot of games playing like 20 or 25 good minutes out of 60, Pierre, and their goalie has a lot to do with that, and they own third periods, right? They're the fourth highest scoring team in the third period. In the playoffs, can you win more than, say, one game in a series if you only play 20 or 25 good minutes? Is that not playing with fire if you can't up that to at least 30 or 35?
Well, that's really dangerous to play that way. I'm with you, Rod, 100%. I think that's a really intelligent point. This is the one thing that concerns coaches. They're not worried. So once you clinch a playoff spot, most coaches, I won't say all, but most coaches are more concerned about the way you're playing and the intensity with which you're playing rather than whether you're winning or losing. They really do. They want you to feel good about yourself, yeah, as a team, because and winning does that, but they also want to make sure that you're playing hard enough, you're playing long enough, and you're playing more competitively and hard in a way that you can transfer that into the playoffs, because you don't have a lot of live fire exercises left. For most teams, it's 6-7 games. That's it.
Barry Truss won the championship with Portland, actually, in 93-94. 43 wins, 46 wins, 37 wins before he got the job in Nashville. With Pierre McGuire on Melnick in the afternoon on game night on TSN 690. Mitch Melnick, Rod Francis, Mitch Gallo. We'll get them back to Mitch at the Bell Center. But right now, as things stand now, the Canadiens and Capitals would meet in the first round of the playoffs. Is there anybody not aware of that? I mean, does that kind of set the tone for tonight?
I think most people in the league that I speak with, they still think Boston's going to play Montreal.
Okay.
I'm just telling you what most people think. I thought that was the way you were phrasing that question. If that's the case, and you're right about tonight, if this was a playoff series, this would be it, and this would be game one. I do think there's a chance to send messages for both teams. We'll see whether they do that or not. Sure, I like this matchup for Montreal if they're playing Washington in a 7-game series. I'm not sure that's the right matchup for them.
Devontae Smith, and the reason I ask it is to lead into Devontae Smith-Pelly returning to the lineup after watching from the press box for a couple of games. Here's what he said today.
They're a pretty physical group. You know, I played against them a couple times this year, and you know, they got a lot of skill and a lot of size. So, you know, we're going to need to play a gritty game and a nasty game.
So
that's right.
Yeah,
but I agree with with Devontae Smith-Pelly 100%. Absolutely agree with that.
Go ahead, Mitch Gallo.
Tom Gilbert's also getting back into the lineup, and he's been wearing a full cage during the practices. How much does the full cage limit what a puck-moving defenseman would do?
Well, the one thing that's good news for Tommy is he wore it in college when he played at Wisconsin. So it's not like it's foreign to him. He's done it before, and he's done it pretty well. That's one of the reasons why he made it into the NHL out of Wisconsin. I mean, what, to Edmonton. So I don't know. If it was a major junior player, I think it'd be an issue. But for a player like Tommy that wore it at a real high level, I don't think it'll be that big an issue.
Chen got it on across to Couturier. They try to muscle it, but score! It is Chen, and it's 2-1 Flyers.
Ended up 4-1 Flyers. How much does that hurt after their really emotional win in a shootout over San Jose the other night?
Setback. Very big setback. Very disappointing. I was around their team, you know, a good portions of the day, around them afterwards. Fans left early. Fans are very disappointed in Pittsburgh. It's really not a good situation right now. They've got a ton of injuries. They've had some free agent defections, obviously. They've gone through a new management team, new coaching staff. That's not the way you're supposed to go into the playoffs when all those things are changed. And so it was really disappointing for the fan base in Pittsburgh last night. That's about as disappointing I've ever seen that fan base.
So in addition to Pittsburgh, Boston's got significant injuries, including one. What's wrong with Dougie Hamilton, do you know? All right. Since Pierre won't answer it, here's Kelly Olynyk of the Celtics, who let something slip.
Well, I remember 2 days ago, I was talking to Dougie Hamilton. I was texting Dougie Hamilton. He told me he broke his ribs. He was trying to come back before the playoffs. He's going to rip me.
All right. Our apologies for the bad audio, but you might have heard broken ribs.
Right. I'm not ever going to criticize anybody's work that does stuff in pro sports or any level of sports, especially in the media. It's just not an easy business. Everybody second guesses you all the time. All I know is how I was trained as a coach, as a player, as a scout, and that carries over into my broadcasting. It's not my job to break injury news. That's not in my job description, so I don't do it. Well, I don't do it. You've never heard me tell
no,
you.
No, I know, but I wanted to hear, you know, when and if the Bruins were going to respond. And Peter Chiarelli, he didn't deny it. He said it's in the area. He's kind of in that area. But that was, I'm sure Kelly Olynyk feels terrible that he's.
Oh, absolutely. That's what I'm saying. I mean, unless you've got a background as a player or a coach or a scout, I mean, it's just not part of your repertoire to just know that you got to protect players. I think part of my coaching thing is I always wanted to protect players from the opposition, only because targeting is such an important part of the game. And when you find out about an injury that a player has, believe me, there's you go after it. I mean, that's just the reality of the business.
All right. How about that game tonight in Detroit?
Well, Mike will be mad. Mike Babcock, he'll want to get his team back on track. I mean, you know, the biggest thing for him is he doesn't like it when his team falls back. And they had a big win against Tampa, and then obviously they had a setback in their next game, and I don't think he likes that stuff. So it's going to be really interesting to see how Detroit responds. And then, again, they're dealing with some injury situations. I don't know whether Drew Miller is going to play or not, but I think they need to worry about him, obviously. But Pavel Datsyuk's a huge part of their team, and so that's going to be an interesting one to watch. They need him back. They need Datsyuk back big time. But Boston's playing with energy. They're playing with focus. They're playing with leadership. And I think they're going to cause some problems tonight for Detroit.
Drew Miller with 60 stitches in his face. Lucky he didn't lose his eye. How disconcerting is it this late in the season that they can't put Jimmy Howard in there and say, okay, that's the least of our worries?
Oh, it's disconcerting. Now, that being said, they like Mrazek. And I still think they have confidence in Jimmy Howard. But Jimmy's got to help himself. I mean, Mitch, you know how it is. It's not milk and cookies. You can like the guy and think the world of the guy and all that other stuff, but if he's not going to win for it, you can't put him in. That's just the reality, and Jimmy hadn't won. And believe me, I'm part of the Jimmy Howard fan club, but he's not winning. So if you're Mike Babcock, you can't put him in right now.
4-game suspension for Dustin Byfuglien. He'll be able to return for their final game against Calgary. What do you think?
Well, I told you yesterday between 3 and 5. Obviously, you know, I thought it'd be 3, but they gave him 1 extra. The fact he'll be back for the Calgary game, that'll be interesting because Calgary still has to play Los Angeles, and they still have to obviously play against Winnipeg. So Calgary's got, you know, some tough road to hoe here. But for Winnipeg, they just have to manage things, and their next game's against Vancouver, and then they have to go on the road for 3, Minnesota, St. Louis, and Colorado. So they better not have any hiccups while Buffalo's out of the lineup. They put themselves in a very tough spot.
So, Pierre, it's a 4-game suspension. Miller wasn't hurt. If Miller has a broken neck, what do you think it is?
Oh, man. Who knows? Probably the rest of the year.
Well, that would be, you know.
What did Dale Hunter get for what he did to Pierre Turgeon?
21 games? 21, yeah.
21 games. So that's probably what Byfuglien could have got.
All right, final one tonight. Final game of linesman Jean Morin's career. Quietly working nearly a quarter of a century, Pierre, including the gold medal game and where you were in Vancouver at the Olympics. He worked 8 Stanley Cup finals.
A gentleman, passionate hockey person. I worked with him before he came to Montreal, I want to say. The 2 games before he came to Montreal that were on national TV in the States, and I asked him what his last game was. I was actually doing a game in Detroit, and he said his last game would be against Washington and Montreal. So this is the one, and he's a true professional. You know, these guys, Pierre Champoux, Jean Morin, Pierre Rastico, you know, Brad Lazarowicz, Shane Heyer, Mike Civic. I basically, Jay Scherers, I grew up with those guys when I was coaching. Those guys were all about the same vintage as me, and you see them all getting out now, and just shows you how long you've been around the league. I think the world of all those guys. They're all just unbelievable gentlemen. You know what's amazing? The bonds you can forge with officials when you're not with a team because you're traveling on the same schedule as they are, and you spend a lot of time in the same hotels, in the same restaurants, in the same airports, on the same plane, so you get to know them. They're fantastic human beings. They really are.
He's chosen to work with his fellow Q grads, Pierre Rastico, Mark Jeanette, and Dave Jackson tonight.
That's awesome. Isn't that great, though, that the league allows that, too? I think that's fantastic. What a great tribute. And I can just tell you this about Jean Morin. If he made mistakes, he was quick to come up and acknowledge them. He didn't try to hide. And I think that's one of the things that got him so much respect around the league from the players and the coaches. He is really an honorable person.
Enjoy Habs and Capitals, Bruins and Red Wings, Rangers and Minnesota, among others, tonight, Pierre. We'll talk about it tomorrow.
I look forward to it, Mitch. Take care. Have a great day, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow.